The title for the message today is Leaving Egypt. How many of you have been in Egypt before? Anybody here have visited Egypt? No. Oh, so the Kisakas have been there. But I'd like to have a surprise for you. According to the scriptural application of the word the country Egypt, maybe the only one who has not been to Egypt here from all the people that I see here, maybe the little burden and Syriani. I think all of us here have been in Egypt. And you see what Egypt means. And we are not talking about the country Egypt, but what Egypt stands for in the Bible, in a symbolic context of the Bible. Okay? So when we say live in Egypt, we all have an Egypt to live from, to run from, to leave behind. And as my brother Sergio was talking about the moment, I was anxious to say to him, you know, moment is the only thing that exists. And the only thing that we touch and die is the moment that we touch. And so when we grab it, we must enjoy the most because it will fade away. Right, brother Sergio? So it's all that we have. And now we're talking about leaving Egypt. We all have a journey to move from one place to a better place. And this is what we'll be talking about. I keep pushing the same button because the habit. Okay. To leave. What is the to leave means? Implies that you are in one place and that you have a purpose to move to another place, or maybe a reason. Or maybe you're being forced. Maybe you're being coerced. Maybe you'll be driven to. You'll be pushed. But to leave means you are in one place and you are have to go to some other place. That is life. If you stop and you don't go to any place, let's see that you say, I would never have the word leave in my life again. You're dead. Because if you don't move, you don't exist. So you have to be, you have either to move or somebody else to move you, but either way, you cannot stay. Even when a person, a human being is standing still, there are thousands and thousands of parts of your body that is in constant movement. The cells, everything else, your brain, your organism, all in movement. So there's no such thing as that we can actually stop completely unless we are dead. But even when we are dead, when we stop doing our things, the bugs start doing theirs. And I don't mean to be gross, but the moment that we no longer are alive, somebody else starts to do their job. And we end up leaving against our own choice. We leave because the bugs will leave us. There we go again. See? I'm pushing that. I have to get used to the different button now. To leave from certainty to uncertainty. What happens when we are moving to a place that we know, to a place that we do not know, that we are not familiar with? Something starts growing inside of our heart. Apprehension, fear, right? We always have fear when we are moving for something that is very familiar to us to something that is not familiar to us. It doesn't matter what age you have, no matter how old you are, to move always takes some kind of anxiety because you go from a comfort zone to something that may not be so comfortable. And if you have preconceived ideas, your fear may overcome you. Because sometimes we fear something that we do not know. Therefore, we create, we imagine, and then we start to fear something that doesn't exist. And that is a clear foolishness of our brain. But sometimes we go there. And of course, why do we fear? First of all, let me say to you that some fear is natural. Did I say that? Some fear is natural. Some fear is even healthy. When you fear something that it may harm you, that fear is the fear that God put inside of you when sin came in. So when sin came into our world, God put this tool inside of us to help us not to push too hard, not to go to a point that we expose ourselves. Now, young people, you have seen those individuals in school that they want to be cool. You know, they want to be daring devils. And they like to do something to push the envelope. And they like to jump from here to there, and they forget that they have no wings. You know, but they don't care. They just want to see, make sure that they catch everybody's eyes because they want to be admired. And so they go and do some foolish things. Constantly we see, sometimes on YouTube or sometimes on internet, somebody that was going to this cliff just to take a picture, a selfie. And now they are underground with their selfie because they were careless. They want to be cool. They want to take a picture to show to everybody, look where I was. One of my children, which will remain nameless, okay, decided to do something like this and says, Dad, look at this picture. I already gave up. Now you have two options. I let her know that that was just plain foolishness. Because why give your life for one picture when you can remain alive, enjoy 1,000,000,000 other pictures? So, yes, when we move, we have to be careful. There go again. Okay, it takes faith for us to move from what we know to what we do not know. And as was mentioned also by Brother Sergio, he should be here preaching. He mentioned also that the Bible text that he mentioned, you know, the things that we cannot see, you know, that's the things that we enjoy. That takes faith. Only faith can provide us what nothing else can. What reason cannot give us, faith can. What government cannot send us every month, faith can. Where we cannot go, faith can take us there. And that's why we need faith. A faith that makes you move. That's the kind of faith that we do need. There are people who claim to have faith, and they don't go anywhere. They're stuck in their lives. That's not really faith. You may call that something else, an emotion. You may call something else. But a real faith will move you. And let me give you another surprise. A real faith not only will move you, but it will move everybody around you. That's how contagious it is. A real faith will even move mountains, as Jesus Christ said. Only if you have a tiny little bit of it is enough to move mountains. Now, in this verse, it says, it is impossible to please God without faith. You cannot relate to God. You cannot even call yourself religious. You cannot call yourself a Christian if you do not have faith, because without faith, it's impossible for you to approach God. God does not exist for those that choose not to have faith. There are a lot of people that claim to have faith, and yet we know they do not have. Why? The way they relate to God is as God does not exist. People sometimes live their lives like they are not accountable to anybody, to anything. I have seen people sometimes, when they try to do something bad, they look that way. They look that way. They look that way, but they always forget to look up. Because when we look up, we do not become attracted to the things that are lower than us. It is when we look up that we always have room to grow. It is when we look up that faith takes us higher than we can imagine. It takes faith to please God. It says anyone who wants to come to Him must believe. Believe is not here in this case a choice. It is the only condition. You must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. I like the word sincerely, because there are a bunch of people, there are so many religious people in this world right now. And the more difficult the world becomes, the more religious the people sometimes become. But sometimes it's a religion of convenience. It is not because they want to be like God, but because they want God to help them so badly. And we are coming to days, and we know, as the Bible mentions, we'll come to time when we will be in terrible need of God. Why don't you become His friend now? And when those days come, and you will be in safe hands. So fear will not overcome you, but faith will take you. It's better to be moved by faith than to be held back by fear. If you go somewhere, faith might take you there. If you're running from something, fear may be behind you. And so make sure. And I like this text very much. I have this when I was baptized. The organist, I asked the organist that I had that week of prayer to write, give me his autograph. And also his name was Raimundo. I can't pronounce Portuguese. Raimundo. I was trying to pronounce it the way you would pronounce, but I got the Portuguese Raimundo. He wrote his name and he put this text. Was the first time I realized, I have read the Bible before, but this time it stayed in my mind. It says, and we know that all things, how many? All. Those, all things work together for good. It doesn't mean that all bad things, all the things that come to your life, comes from God. What God says is, doesn't matter where it comes from, I can deal with it. That's what God is telling you. He says, I am your God, I have the skills, I have the ability, all you have to have is faith. If you have faith, I will deal with all the things that come in your way. And it says, if you are the ones that loves me, the condition is that you have to believe in me, you have to have faith in me, you have to love me. And then if you love me, I will show you how much I love you too. To those who are called according to His purpose, we are here because He wants us here. We exist because He brought us into existence. And He will sustain us. He takes faith. For what? A faith that will move you. That's the faith that we needed today. A faith that will move you. Move you from where to where? That will be the next question. Out of Egypt into the promised land. But you notice that everyone who left Egypt, not everyone got to the promised land. Not everyone who left Egypt and joined God's church eventually stay in the church. Some of them, they have too much of Egypt. Even though they come to church, they come out of Egypt, Egypt keeps claiming them back. And sometimes they come to church on Sabbath, they get out of Egypt just for 24 hours, and they go back straight to Egypt as soon as the service of the church finishes, they miss the onions of Egypt so badly that they are running back to Egypt as fast as they can. Please open your beautiful book called Bible. Yes, open your Bibles, please, everyone, get your Bibles, please. I told the young man here that he's going to hear his name quite a few times today. So here it comes. Hebrews chapter 11. What is Hebrews 11? The hall of faith, right? Those that will have an appointment to see the Almighty. Isn't that wonderful? And by the way, we have the version of the past heroes. But God is writing His own Hebrews 11 in heaven. And He's putting your name on that one. I got no amens.
Amen.
Yes. So I like to repeat this. God is writing another Hebrews 11 in heaven to add your name to it. So all that you have to do is have faith, and the Lord will put you in that hall of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 23, all the way to 29. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Here is the verse 23. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. And Brother Moses, you're going to like this part here, because I think your parents should think about this one too. Why did they hide him? Because he was an unusual child. I'm embarrassed for Brother Moses here. But it is true. It says, God, the parents decide, look at this child and says, there's something unique about this child. Some versions, I know that some of our versions may say, because he was a beautiful child. Why I did not choose that version? Because I don't believe the original intent to say the child was beautiful. Ask the parents here. Anybody here gave birth to an ugly child? Even if it was true, you were not going to admit. In Brazil, they have a saying. They said, this is a son of an owl. Now, have you ever seen a son of an owl? A chick? They're ugly as they can be. But if you ask an owl, the owl will say, no, it's the most beautiful thing that this nature can create. Look at those big eyes. Look at that very short beak. Look at those ears. It's the most beautiful thing that nature has created. Ask an owl. Next time you see an owl, ask. And the owl will tell you, their children are the most beautiful ever. So there is no such thing as an ugly child. There's nothing, because a child is not just the face, is not the external details, but the purity, the God-given nature that a child is born with. Every child is beautiful. So I chose this version because I think this version gives more into it. It says there was something unique about this child, and the parents noticed right away. Or either by their eyes or by God, the Holy Spirit telling them, saying, I put in your hand the deliverer. I put in your hand for you to take care, Jochebed. This child is the one who is going to be the most famous Hebrew quotation, Egyptian that ever lived in this earth. He will be known throughout the ages. Every single nation will know his name. And children everywhere will be named after him. Even in a Vista church, there will be one. Everywhere, they will know this name. And so the parents look at their child and says, wow, this child got potential. There's something unique about this child. And God told them, yes, please take care of this child, because this child is put in your hands for a purpose. I have a purpose for this child. Now, you know the rest of the story. We're not going to go into details, but one single illustration that I'd like to make. You know what they did after 3 months? They could not contain, they could not hide this child anymore. And I don't know, mothers, you know, when you have a baby, no matter how cute, how nice your child is, they go to the bathroom. They cry. They make noise. Sometimes they have pain. And they yell because they don't know how to speak. So they yell. For this mother to keep this child hidden for 3 months. The neighbors knew that she was pregnant. The neighbors knew that now she doesn't look like pregnant anymore. So the people started asking, what happened? You were like this, now you're no longer like that. So what happened? Where is he or she? And so finally, she had to come up with an idea. And again, the Holy Spirit came in and gave them this unique, wonderful, only driven by God that it was possible. I'm not saying that she was not a bright woman, but what she did was very unique. Now, you know that in the Nile, it is a river infested with crocodiles. And some of you that have a vacation Bible school here once that we have in the Nile, and there were a lot of pictures of crocodiles. You know, crocodiles. So Pharaoh made a statement that when you get a boy, you got a crocodile food. That's what your boy is going to be, crocodile food. You have a boy, you have to feed the crocodiles with your boy. Have you ever asked yourselves why the boys? They're all pastors, obvious, because if you take the male to continue the bloodline and everything else, if the girls marry an Egyptian, the child will become Egyptian. He's no longer a Hebrew. Yeah, that's the explanation that we give. But if you have to understand why the boys were thrown to the crocodiles, you have to read Genesis 3:15. I didn't see anybody open their Bibles. I said, what is Genesis 3:15? It's what God told Satan, your descendants will try to destroy her descendants, and one of her descendants is going to smash your head. So Satan decided, before he smashed my head, I'm going to kill as many of them as I can. And they did not want the firstborn of any family, because Satan knew that the firstborn was the path out of Egypt. He knew that if I can keep them in Egypt, I am going to end up consuming them. Egypt will absorb them to a point that they will cease to exist by just being in Egypt. They will become such an Egyptian that they will lose everything. They will no longer be a Hebrew. They no longer be the son of a promise. They will be just a crocodile food. And so she said, not this one, not this unusual child. I have to find a way. And you know what this lady did? It took Noah 120 years to build an ark. She took a little less, and she built a tiny little ark. You see, the other ark was to protect the seed. This little ark made by Jochebed was to protect the seed as well. And so she made that and made sure that no crocodiles who could get in. Just like the ark. The Bible says clearly that God asked him to build the ark to protect the seed. And the angels of God protect, watch over that ark, as that ark would go back and forth, and there was these peaks in the ark would go around, and there was nobody driving except the Almighty One, the Invisible One. He was driving. Oh, yes, yes. He was driving that little ark to the Nile. And he kept the crocodiles busy with something else. And there was a little girl watching over her little brother, an angel. Do you know that sometimes we think about angels, we think about them having wings and everything else. But God has put some people in our lives to be our angels too. A spouse, a child, a husband, a wife, a cousin, an uncle, an aunt, a pastor, a member, God put us to be angels to each other. And so we need to watch. And they were not afraid. They disobeyed. They dared to disobey the king. Why? Because they were serving a higher king. In the book of Acts tells us that we must obey the authorities until the authorities decide to take the place of God. When God defines morality and Caesar comes and contradicts what God does, then we have to choose which king is our king. Are we from Egypt or we don't belong in Egypt? If we are from Egypt, we do as the Egyptians do. But if we don't belong in Egypt, we don't act like we belong there. We move out. Now, in the verse 24, it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, how did Moses get faith anyway? God provided the best babysitter ever to Moses. Do you know who was his babysitter? The person who loved him the most in this earth. And it got the Pharaoh's daughter to pay for it. Isn't that clever? To put your enemy to pay your debt. To pay your bills. The father was trying to destroy the baby. God used the daughter to save the baby and made the father pay for the bills. Aren't you amazed of the God that you serve? It's an awesome God. Our enemies are a bunch of fools. Because God is so wise and He guides us in the right direction. Oh, what a beautiful. It says, he grew up. And he grew up the time that she had him with her under her care. She taught him everything that he has to do. And Sister Nanyu, you still have a baby in your hand. Brother Joseph, still, I don't think she's going to like the word baby, but this is the time. Continue to instruct her and continue to instruct your children the best way you can. Because Egypt will be coming knocking at their door. We'll try to recruit them. We'll try to give them even a first class ticket to go to Egypt. You have to teach them to refuse the things of Egypt. Don't let them be attracted to the things of Egypt, because you see, Egypt has some nice things, but also have crocodiles that are trying to eat children. And there are always devils, paganism, and all the things that you don't want to be even close to. So please, don't worry. No matter how rich is the smell coming from Egypt, stay out of there. Because the end is death. Refuse to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. Basically what he's saying says, he refused to be the head of the entire country. He refused to be the next Pharaoh. He refused to have all the glory of this earth because he knew by God, intuition, God's spirit in him, he knew there was something else much better. He chose to share the oppression of God's people. You see, it's not easy when you move from comfort to discomfort just because you love somebody. That's true love, isn't it? He could stay in his palace and say, who cares about those? You know, they deserve. Why did they come to Egypt? They're supposed to be here just for a few years, but they stay here 430. Why did they stay there too long? And by the way, sometimes you invite somebody to come to your home and you wonder, when are you leaving? Some people, they come, they camp, and they don't want to leave unless the whole house shakes. They don't move. Yes. They went to Egypt. They went there for the right reason and they stay for the wrong reason. How many people go to Egypt for the good reason and then they get stuck in Egypt? It is time for us to move out of Egypt. Get rid of the smells of Egypt. Whatever Egypt is attracting you, leave it, brothers and sisters, because no one, God is not coming to Egypt to get you there. He's going to come for you because you have to be out of Egypt. He didn't want the pleasures of sin, but he wants to be with God. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. Please read this as your own. Think about you. I know that it's better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to be attracted to the treasures of Egypt. Say this to yourself, my brother and sister, and try to repeat it a few times so the devil may walk away from you. It says, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. Better than anything that Egypt has to offer, it was waiting for Moses. And he did not know. So what did he do? He used faith. Because faith will allow him to see the things that nobody could imagine. He did not know for certainty that he would become greater than any of those pharaohs. By the way, do you know what the difference when Moses made this decision? He made the decision between being buried in under one of those pyramids or now be in a promised land where the Lord took him. Can you imagine the choice that he made? Isn't the same thing with you, my brother and sister? The choice that you are making, you could have been in another place right now. You could have a full-time job working on the Sabbath, get an extra penny to pay for your gasoline. But instead, you are here investing on the one who will take care of all your needs. That is wisdom. Now continue. It says, verse 27, it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt. Only faith can move you from a place like Egypt, because Egypt has too many attractions. Too many. Over there in San Bernardino, there is a place, I don't know if it's still there, but they call the Pharaoh's Castle. I think it's still there. I'm not sure. I mean, you ask the young kids here. Do you know anything about? There's this park, and the theme is the Pharaoh's Castle, something like that. And I remember when my children were little, we drove by, and I didn't take them to inside for the park, but I know there is a park up there. So Egypt is attraction in many different ways, and a lot of people have been attracted from Egypt. I also had a pastor, a retired pastor, as my first elder in my first church. I was a pastor. I had the privilege to have a first elder that was a minister for 42 years. He was a conference president. He was as high as the South American division leadership. I was so humbled that he was my first elder. And not a single day, all the years that he served that church, he ever mentioned to us that he actually had a doctorate degree. We found out that he had a doctorate degree when he was close to, we were close to bury him when he died. This is how humble this man was. He would never say more than four or five words, but when he spoke, everybody was silent listening. I was very blessed to have that kind of a support when we first, the first church that we pastored. And he used to say, one thing that he detests, he despised onions. And jokingly, he always say, onions comes from Egypt. and I don't want anything that comes from Egypt. He used to say that. You can tell how he despised onions. Not fearing the king's anger, he did. By the way, when he says that he left, he's not talking about the first time he left. Because the first time he left, he tried to do exactly what Abraham and Sarai did. When you try to help God, you know. And you notice that in that case, not to go too far away from what we're talking about here, Abraham also using an Egyptian to bring the Ishmaelites in the picture. And they were the ones who took Joseph to Egypt. A son of an Egyptian took the son of a Hebrew to the it's all little by little, put all the pieces together, you see that how things are. And here it says, when he left, let's talk about now when he left with the hope, with the people. Remember that Pharaoh threatened him, next time I'll see you, I'll kill you. And he was not afraid. So he was not afraid of the anger of Pharaoh. He didn't fear him anymore because he has been in the presence of the invisible one. And he knew who was in charge. So, in verse 28, it was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover. Why? Because the angel of death. Tell me one thing again. Have you noticed? Who was the angel of death trying to kill? The ones that the crocodile did not eat? Yes. The angel is the same angel that were there trying to finish the work. Is the same angel with the hands of the soldiers, and when Jesus Christ was born and went to Bethlehem and tried to kill all the babies, is the same hand, and you go and look in your entire Bible, the fight, the war between good and evil is every step of the way try to kill the seed, the Messiah. And this angel went to try to kill, but God said, take the blood of a firstborn lamb as a symbol of the Messiah. You put on your portals and your house will become invisible. You know the word Passover in English, what it means, right? It's a compound word that says you fly over it like it doesn't even exist. And so the house became invisible. And by the way, brothers and sisters, when you have a faith that moves, you become invisible for the tricks of the evil one as well. So please, practice your faith. It will keep you from the hands of the angel of death. It was by faith that people of Israel went right through the Red Sea and through they were in dry ground. One of the most favorite parts of this whole story is when they left Egypt. And yeah. By the way, where are we going anyway? We all, you know, have you noticed when people say invite you for a party and you are there, but what we are celebrating? What are we here for? And they were all in that, you know, the high adrenaline. They haven't thought about it. I have left just a very fertile country and now we're going, where are we going anyway? Suddenly something else caught their attention. A bunch of very mad crocodiles riding horses. I call crocodiles the soldiers, you know, I mean, I'm just joking. There comes the soldiers, they are mad. And they are mad as mad it can be. They are all possessed. They come. They come to destroy completely. They come to finish what the angel of death could not do. Now the angel of death was using the soldiers. If you think I'm stretching a little bit, look in your book of Job. First chapter, second chapter, what Satan used, the Chaldeans, Satan used people, used the nature, used any form possible to bring destruction upon the anointed ones. It says, it was by faith the people of Israel went through the sea. So here comes, and then it says, Moses, I think we made a mistake. Our GPS is messed up. We now have a mad army behind us. we have before us, by the way, we spent 430 years in Egypt. We never got swimming lessons. That was not part of the deal. They don't teach slaves, free lessons, how to swim. You know, we cannot swim. And they talked to Moses, and Moses says, yes, Lord, yeah, I think we got something wrong here. And the Lord just tell him, what do you have in your hand? And God tell them, move. He didn't tell them where. They told them, move. Leave Egypt. You're still in Egypt. You're still in the Egyptian territory. As long as the Egyptians can reach you, you're still part of Egypt. You only will leave Egypt when your faith is strong enough for God to provide you a miracle. When you are able to see miracles. When you see the mighty hand of God. And so they touch the water, and the water surrendered to them. The water says, excuse me, you're the tune of the Almighty. We must move out of your path. And the water, the molecules, I mispronounced, but you know what I'm talking about, moved by visible hands. And what happens? They cross in dry ground. Not only the miracle moved the water, but the miracle also makes sure that the ground was suitable for God's children to march on. And they did. And they followed. And they went. But then the Egyptian says, you know what? If this faith works for them, it works for us too. And you'll be amazed how many people come to church without not have the faith in God. And church becomes a nightmare for them instead of a blessing. Some people come to church and they are never happy in church because they are drowning in church. God's miracles for them, instead of blessing them, it actually makes more difficult for them. So, blessings are to those that choose to believe. And so they cross. They finally are out of Egypt. Maybe. Because you may walk out away from Egypt, but be careful because you may carry some Egyptian stuff inside of you. And some of them did, you know. And the first experience, the first encounter that they have directly with God, as Moses went up to the mountain, they went back to Egypt mentally. And they start doing the things the Egyptian did. They create a god. And you know, destruction came upon them. They left Egypt to be destroyed by their own evil that they brought with them inside of them. They did not. Here is 1 Corinthians 10, verse 2. I hope you have this underlined in your Bible. Do you know that the Bible calls, Paul calls, that crossing of the sea the baptism of the entire nation? Now, they all were baptized, but then all of them remained in church. The first experience that they had, they left. So that's why it's important for us to have a good preparation before baptism, so that when you are baptized, you remain in church. You don't go back. It says, in the cloud, in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. Eventually, they became followers of God. They were all baptized. You see, when you leave Egypt, to become baptized, to be born again, to be a brand new body of Christians. So that's what it's all about. We are almost done. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, it says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it yet. I add the yet there on my own, okay? But I have my eyes on this one thing. It doesn't allow me to be distracted by any way. My eyes are so fixed on this that nothing can take me back to Egypt. He says, forgetting the past, I'm looking forward for what lies ahead. That is what it means to leave Egypt, is to forget the things that are behind. Don't think about the onions, the food of Egypt, the comfort of Egypt. What God has reserved for you and for me is much greater. Press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, your God, my God, through Jesus Christ, has reserved for you. Yes, He's coming for you. He's coming for you, for me.
Amen.
To take us out of this big Egypt for good.
Amen.
So my brothers and sisters, it takes faith. Yes, it takes faith. Nothing else. It takes faith from our parents to build us a solid foundation for us to get out of Egypt. It takes from us individually as a child of God, to also embrace faith. And it takes the people around us. We need each other. We need the faith as the congregation, as God's people. We need our parents' guidance. We need our own conviction. But we need also those around us. It's important for us. That's how faith grows. Now, do you know what this picture is? Anybody knows? Who knows? Some of you said the Vatican. I was hoping for a more. Some of you would be daring and say, this pastor is the today's Egypt. Yes. I know. Today's Egypt is the Vatican, yes. But I have a text that shows me that this is the Egypt of today. Because it says, then I heard another voice calling from heaven. It says, my people that have been in this slavery for so long, my people, don't participate in their sins. Get out of there. Do you know who is giving the invitation for the people to get out of Egypt? So that you would not receive the disasters that will come upon her. It is Jesus Christ who is inviting His people. The same Christ that is asking Moses, take my people out of there. Is the same God that is telling Eve to each one of us, get out of Egypt. Whatever Egypt may represent to you, get out. And by the way, I'm going to say this, and I say in a very kind way so that I won't be taken in the wrong way. Don't be so confident that just because there is a sign outside that says Seventh-day Adventist Church, that every Seventh-day Adventist Church is actually what God wants them to be. Rely not in a denomination. I don't think there's anything wrong with the denomination. Of course, I'm part of it. As long as this denomination is faithful to the Bible, I'm part of it. But remember, we're not going to go to heaven because we belong to A or B denomination. We're going to go to heaven if we are God's people.
Amen.
The Bible says the remnant is His people. But the same way there was always Egyptians among God's people, don't be surprised that until the end, there will be those that keeps trying to convince you, let's spend just a vacation on Egypt. You know, we don't need to go there and buy a house there. Let's just go for fun for just a weekend. And the word weekend, it may be already an expression of Egypt. Because there's no such thing as a weekend involved Sunday, if you know the story. Romans 8:28, let me repeat that again. And you know that all things work together for the good of those that are called according to God's purpose. To those who are called according to His will. Brothers and sisters, and here's the final verse. I hope that you mark this in your Bible, because I think that if you forgot all the other verses, I don't want you to forget this one. If you forgot all the other ones, of course I don't encourage you to, but if you forget all the other ones, make sure that you don't forget this one. Micah chapter 7. And by the way, if you open your Bible and read in your Bible, you will be able to remember even better before I put it on the screen. Micah 7, verse 15. Have you found it? I can hear the pages. This is such a beautiful sound. I think heaven is going to be full of that kind of sound. It's like a music. This sound is like a music. Micah 7, verse 15. Yes, says the Lord, I will do mighty miracles for you. And he's talking to you, Vista. Okay, he's talking to you. As you are about to leave Egypt, he says, I will do mighty miracles to you, for you. I mean, like those I did when I rescued you from slavery in Egypt. By the way, when we read our Bible, we always talk about Israel leaving Egypt. That is symbolically, it's us. We all have to leave slavery. And we all have to experience God's miracles. Why God provide miracles for Israel, and why God is providing miracles for us? To strengthen our faith. To know of His presence. To know that we are somebody. The world keeps saying to you that you are nobody. But only nobody says, though all the people calls all the people nobody, because they want all the nobodies around. But somebody will call you somebody. And somebody has called you His own. Let's stand together and sing and believe that He is the one who is going to lead us through this journey and also out of Egypt. God bless.